The day when we were spiritually born into God's family, our baptismal day, we became pilgrims or wayfarers on the way. Christ was on his way to Jerusalem. Galilee, Samaria, Judea were the three states, somewhat like Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria. And Samaria, the in-between state, like our New South Wales, wasn't a Jewish region. Although they regarded themselves as Jews, the Samaritans worshipped in another place, not Jerusalem. And hence, our Lord going through there on his way to Jerusalem, they would not receive him. They rejected him. He's on a journey, and he calls people to follow him. His apostles do. In fact, the word disciple means follower. And we, because of our baptism, follow the Lord. As we go from here to there, from time unto eternity, we'll find obstacles. Issues will emerge, and we'll have to overcome them, or they will overcome us. St. John, Catholic bishop and the only apostle not to be martyred, would write in one of his letters, "We have to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil." These are the three categories of obstacles that emerge in our life, in everyone's life, and in the gospel today. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is simply those people who are opposed to God's will. They're the strangers to God, not strangers necessarily to us, but they find God, religion, church, Catholicism, all rather foreign. And therefore, they don't welcome us or what we believe. Someone like the Samaritans, they were not welcoming of Christ and his presence in their midst. Notice the response of the two brothers, James and John. "Let us burn them down." In other words, filled with the fire of God, they wanted to bring God's justice unto these foreigners or strangers to God. And our Lord turns and rebukes them. In our life, when we are following Christ and people try to disconcert us, who try to discourage us from practicing what we believe or living as we ought not be wanting them to be condemned. We ought not want them to suffer, but rather realize, as the Beatitude teaches us, blessed are we who are persecuted in the cause of righteousness. Our reward will be great. Let God sort people out at the end of time. We don't have to sort them out now. It's not our duty nor our obligation. God will sort every soul, and he sees the grace that each person is given. We don't. He does. And hence the notion, we shall not rebuke them here or now, but rather God will if they don't repent. As we travel along, we overcome those people who discourage us, the foreigners of God, the strangers to his belief. We then encounter the next category of people, or rather, we encounter ourselves. The world, the flesh, the devil. The flesh here means our creature comforts, our warmth, which we don't have this morning, our desire for things, our bodily needs. How often people don't follow Christ, or they come to an obstacle in their discipleship because they don't want to move outside of their comfort zone. Christ asks them to do something and they just don't want to do it. It might be to move, it might be to change certain aspects of their life, but because they're in a routine, they don't want to change. And that's the text here. This man is following Jesus. Perhaps he realizes that Christ can multiply food. I don't have to go looking for food now. And our Lord is Jesus Christ. No doubt he'll find me a place to stay. So our Lord says, if you want to be one of my disciples, don't expect any creature comforts, because I don't even have a place to lay my head. I'm just travelling through this world. So don't come to me seeking fame and fortune, but rather be ready to be, I suppose, upset at times, to find things awkward and difficult. We get so used to things being done our way, and God might ask us, well, do it my way instead. We find it difficult, so therefore we kind of perhaps don't come to follow Christ as closely as we ought. He would challenge us at times to increase our prayer load for members of the family, or to perhaps endure some suffering or misfortune. Don't give up on him. And remember, he's asking you, he's challenging you to do extra. Move outside of that comfort zone and seek his will. Come closer to his divine heart, and your heart will be enkindled. And you'll find the strength to come closer to him in this journey, this pilgrimage. The last class of obstacle or issues that emerge, the world, the flesh, is the devil. The devil here means all forms of temptation. Temptations that pull us away from doing God's will. And the temptations might be regarding good things. Two types of people are called to follow Christ. One says, let me go and bury Dad first. What a good thing that is, bury a member of the family. But we're not talking here of a funeral ceremony, but rather the mourning period that might go for weeks after, then the monthly commemoration. The whole reality of mourning for the dead back in Semitic times was something that might have gone for 6 months. And the other one says, I'll follow you, but let me go home and kind of say goodbye to my relatives and friends and cousins, which could have taken months or so. In both cases, family issues were becoming obstacles to following Christ. They're temptations. And Lord says, make me number one in your life, and then your family. Don't put your family before me, because ultimately, at the end of your life, your family won't be there, but I will. If you want your family to be in heaven, give me first place in your life, and they take then second place, and then you'll all be united in my kingdom. Many people in life are discouraged from pursuing their vocation. It might be to religious life, priesthood, marriage, because of family issues. Because of mum said this, dad wants that. Families are a priority. God is a family. But God must come first in our family. And then our family locks in to his divine will. So temptations can come from all domains. But family temptations are very hard to sort because our hearts are knit together. We need to have the spirit of Elisha and Elijah, the first reading, these two great prophets. When one was called to follow, Elisha did everything he needed to go then and now to do God's will. And so too, when we're called, temptations emerge, doubts, worries, concerns. Give up on them. Through prayer, seek God's will first. And then you will be satisfied. And don't look back. When the temptation comes, oh, maybe I shouldn't have married this person or moved here or done this. Don't look back. Once the hand is laid on the plough, in other words, once you've set your will to correspond with God's, don't be tempted to think, oh, perhaps maybe I should have. Many people live in the past. The past is gone. Might be a past hurt, might be a past issue that was never resolved. And the future has not yet come. The only reality that we have before us is now. And if we're doing God's will now, stay focused. Don't be distracted by maybe or perhaps I should have. And don't be thinking, what about the future? You might not have a future. No one is guaranteed a future. Reality is living now in God's presence and doing God's will, and not doubting or being tempted otherwise. Two people who endured the world, the flesh and the devil, whom became great saints, although they were great sinners, were Peter and Paul. It's their feast day on Wednesday. We have a solemnity to honour them because our church is built upon these two great apostles. One became the first pope, the other the first preacher. One denied the Lord, the other persecuted his church. Both in God's time and through actual graces were won over, and their hearts converted, and they became intimate followers, disciples of the Lord. The world, the flesh, and the devil tempted them. They overcame those temptations and issues. We can also, by seeking God's will through actual graces each week. Let us therefore pray through their intercession that in some way each day